All right, 3, 2, 1. How's it going, everybody? And welcome back to Nerd Stuff with Ian 2.0 podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Ian. And today's episode, as you guys have already read the title, we're going to go over two recent number ones from Marvel. First one being Punisher, second being Johnny Blaze, Ghost Rider, I should say. Just Ghost Rider number one and Punisher number one. So let's start with Ghost Rider. Figure we'll kind of get that out the way, as I feel like more people are more invested with Punisher, and I want to save that more for the end, especially since there's a lot more going on with that. So with Ghost Rider, the new issue, it is written by Benjamin Percy with art from Corey Smith. The story starts off in a very interesting spot. So Johnny Blaze, more or less, has just found kind of a life out in this town. And he's got a wife, he's got two kids, he's got, you know, his wife's dad. You know, he feels like he's got everything. But recently, ever since he got in this motorcycle accident, he's got this giant scar on his head. He's been dealing with this giant headache and these nightmares, to the point of where he's having to drink daily. And it gets to the point of, you know, it's really just driving his brain crazy and making him go nuts. And he's just trying to figure out why. And he's seeing a therapist, and she's like, there's no such thing as monsters. In case you made it this far, it's straight spoilers, so I'm going to put that in the title. But we'll figure, throw it out there just in case. But he's constantly having to tell himself, there's no such thing as monsters. There's no such thing as monsters. There's no such thing as monsters. And his therapist is like making sure he knows, you know, he's broken his own, you know, thing. He's broken his own, you know, word to the judge. You know, he's just going through all this stuff and he doesn't know why. You know, he's trying to figure it out and he's putting it through his head. He's, you know, talking about all this thing. He feels like there's something either trying to get in or get out of his head. And you, from the artwork by Corey Smith, he did a fantastic job. He made this very much a like horror-esque kind of thing, which I think works for Ghost Rider anyways. And the scar, at one point, you see this giant eyeball come out the scar. And it makes it very interesting because you find out that Johnny Blaze, when he got in this car accident, the motorcycle accident, like, he went through it. Like, he had hemorrhaging everything. He's been emotionally, physically, mentally just not the same. And, you know, there's just been no sighting for Ghost Rider. So, while that's going on, you know, he's, you know, dealing with his neighbors. Apparently, you know, there's been some incidents where he's killed his neighbor's animal. And recently that morning, he had killed his neighbor's dog. Or what he was assumed to have killed his neighbor's dog, quote unquote. But you find out as it's going on, not everything's what it seems. You know, Johnny's being led to believe it's what it is, but it's not what it is. This demon named Zeb finally finds where Johnny Blaze is, and he's going through and he's talking to different people. He's trying to figure out where Johnny is. And the people of the town are, like, not trying to really answer him. But he's able to find him. He's smelling the brimstone. He just knows the whole town is full of just liars and deceit. He's going to find him. You know, the harder they try to hide him, he's going to find him. And Johnny ends up kind of getting into an argument with his wife. And there's a knock at the door. And right when, you know, Johnny Blaze's wife opens the door, you know, she's wearing this ring. And Zeb, the demon, goes, oh, that's a nice ring. And Prentice starts really breaking the illusion that Johnny Blaze has been put under. He finds out that everything that's going on is just an illusion. And, I mean, he snaps in a glorious image of, like, you see, like, he finally transforms to Ghost Rider. It's like this giant flaming skull, everything like that. And I mean, he starts going in on some demons and starts just running shop. And it was just amazing to see. And then just for the ending of it to be just Johnny Blaze rides off, you know, to go and find, you know, the next demon to kill. So that's pretty much Ghost Rider issue one by Benjamin Percy. I think the writing for it was good. The story so far has been fun. Yeah, it's one issue in. But especially if you're somebody who's, you know, looking for something different and you want something to kind of just jump in on that's kind of more on the, you know, weird, demonic, magical side, and you don't want to do like Doctor Strange or something like that, I do suggest Ghost Rider. I think the story is going to hold up. And in case you're wondering, like, oh, well, do I have to read, you know, any past books, anything like that? You don't, because Benjamin Percy kind of goes over a lot of that stuff within, you know, his 43 pages he gets to write this book in. And, I mean, he does a pretty good job. And it pretty much catches you up right then and there. I do know some people be like, well, should I read Ed Brisson's run? Should I read, you know, Damnation with Donnie Cates, the event he did with Doctor Strange? You don't need to. Ed Brisson's run, I do suggest reading it, but it's not necessary for this. I suggest reading that one just because Ed Brisson's run on Ghost Rider was really fun. But that's neither here nor there. But this is definitely one that I recommend, especially if you're somebody who's looking for a new number one, who's looking for a good story. And that's one that I feel like for this, it's worth it. Now let's jump into the one I think everybody wants to know more about, which is Punisher number one by Jason Aaron with art from Jesus Saez and Paul Esqueta. Man, this issue did not disappoint. And, dude, where do I begin? So the issue starts off with, of course, a quick kind of, like, retelling of Punisher's origin in a different way. So you start off, you know, with just, you don't see anything, you don't see, Frank or any of them getting shot or anything like that. But you're just kind of like a bystander just looking down the ground and you're hearing everything that happens. You know, from Maria getting shot, Frank's wife, to his two kids. And it's just driving Frank crazy. And you're just seeing the fact that, you know, the EMTs are just freaked out by the fact that, like, he's not dead. He's not dead. And you know the two little kids are dead because they indicate that. But they don't, you know, and then they indicate his wife is gone. For him, it's, you know, that kind of gives you the basic gist of what the Punisher is. So fast forward, after you got that, you go to now this kind of black market arms dealers kind of thing. And these guys, you know, they've been selling weapons and they've been just trafficking things. And of course, if anybody knows the Punisher does not put up with, you know, trafficking of humans, you know, extreme violence, anything like that. Even though he's a dude that's willing to bring the violence, he does not put up with a lot of that stuff. So, of course, Frank, what he does best, he starts going in and starts killing people. But this time he's, you know, different. He is, you know, he's now leading the hand. And it, honestly, reading how it starts is just really well done from Jason Aaron. Like, I know there's controversy with the symbol, but I think if the changing of the symbol fits with what the story is trying to present, and if they want to keep that going forward, then I'm fully down for that. Like, to me, it makes sense, because you do see the old symbol within the story. But let's kind of, I'll jump back to that near the end of it. So, of course, Frank and the Hand, they start just running through these people. Frank just being this, you know, murder machine that he is, he starts just running through people. He's wielding swords. And I mean, he's doing pretty good damage with what he's presenting with or what he's doing to these people. They don't want to answer his questions. One dude, you know, thinks they can take him. Frank takes off his hand, then lops off his head. No time. Then it goes to, you know, after that happens, you have this one of the elders in the Hand. They give you, she, you know, flashes over to her and she goes and starts talking about, you know, the Beast. And you find out that the Beast is actually Frank and that the Hand has been looking for the Beast to lead the Hand. You know, it's not the basic, you know, Matt Murdock's going to lead the Hand or Lecter's going to lead the Hand. It's kind of a nice change. You know, the murder machine, the Beast, that is Frank Castle. You know, he all about that blood and blood, guts, and glory. You know, that's what he does. And to give him swords to, you know, give him that ability to now seek out vengeance on people who are doing wrong, you know, whether they're trafficking kids or, you know, corrupt, anything like that, it lines up and it actually fits Frank Castle's Punisher perfectly with how it's set up. And you find out how Frank went from being the Punisher to now being the Beast for the Hand in a very interesting way. The Elder, she decided that, you know, she wanted to test him because she didn't want to just believe he was the Beast. Because just believing that he is the Beast, to her, she wanted to prove it. So she sent like 80 of her best people that are children that she is, you know, trained to now they're young adults. And they're among like the best warriors that they can send. And she sends them in and Frank just destroys them. I mean, and some crazy bloody shots. I mean, they're giving it to him just as much as he's giving it to them. But I mean, he's, you know, running through them like a hot knife through butter. And it's the imagery, the artwork, dude, give Paul Azteca and Jesus Saez some props, man. They really knocked that out the park. I do know there's some people that are kind of little hit or miss with the artwork. I think it works for what the story's trying to tell. And I think that for Frank Castle, for like Punisher and all that, the artwork does well. I don't think it's anything crazy. You know, it's not Steve Dillon artwork. But even then, I think Steve Dillon has a very particular art style. But that's just me. But as you're going through the story, you know, you're Frank is just, you know, you see the Him versus the Hand, and just then it flashes back or flashes back to the present of Frank returning. The Elder, you know, has this group of corrupt, you know, people in this room, and every day Frank goes through and, you know, he's told by the Elder, like, we can kill them all for you, but Frank goes individually one by one and kills everybody in that room just to send a message. And it's insane to think that, like, that level of insanity is involved with just Frank Castle. But again, it makes sense. You know, the story's kind of lining up. You know, Frank now has options with the Hand. They're, you know, they're aligning better than he thought they would. So, Frank's kind of a little disappointed in himself in the sense of he's like, he knows he could do better with, like, the swords, stuff like that. You know, he knows his precision could be better. But he also knows, you know, doing all this, he's doing it for the better good. And as the issue kind of comes to a close, you find out the reason why he's doing it is Maria, his wife. You find out that the Hand, with all their resurrection, they brought back his wife. And it kind of lines up with kind of what the Hand would do. You know, who better to get Frank to do something that he wouldn't normally do and line himself with the Hand than his wife? You know, his dead wife, the one thing he's, one of the three people he wants back the most. You know, and the imagery at the end, it's like you just see the bullet holes in Maria where she was, but now they're just scars. And it's just Frank and her laying in bed. And I thought that was very, you know, a very interesting choice. And I thought it was a very great choice in that sense for Jason Aaron to kind of go that way. And it works perfectly, I think, for the character. It doesn't really undercut him, anything like that. And I think that you get the Punisher everyone wants, And Jason Aaron just knocked it out the park. Because he reminds everybody, he's like, yeah, I used to write the Punisher. Like, I got this. Like, don't worry. You know, and a lot of people kind of had issues with his recent Avengers stuff. But, you know, him coming back to Punisher kind of felt, it felt right at the end of the day. So, what I talked about earlier with kind of just a lot of what was being presented, like the ending part where you see Maria and Frank, I thought was a really nice touch. And I like the fact that the Hand was willing to do that, and that's how Jason Aaron was willing to write the story. Now, the Punisher symbol, the original one, is still in there. And I feel as though, I don't think the symbol's probably going to change fully. I think it might change for a while. Because I don't feel like the 8-issue series they're about to do of this is probably going to be like the full ending story. I feel like, to me, you should kind of play it out a little longer. You know, let Frank kind of, you know, be more aligned with the Hand, with everything that's going on. But then again, I'm curious to see, like everybody else, what the next part of the story is really going to be and what else is going to be presented. So, yeah, definitely I suggest both of those books or both those comics. They're both worth it. And whether you pick up one or both, honestly, they are among top tier writing currently. And they're probably among like the two best books that I would highly recommend, especially starting their issue ones just came out, to jump in on. So with that being said, thank you guys for listening. And as always, you guys can find me on Anchor, Podbean, wherever you listen to your podcasts, as well as you guys can find me on Facebook and Instagram at NerdStuffWithIan2.0. You guys can also email me at NerdStuffWithIan@gmail.com. And with that being said, you guys have a great day, and later.